Now, this message may start off a little gloomy and dreary, but it's not meant to be. It's going to turn out really uplifting. So don't get the wrong idea here. You know, I've taught several messages recently. I seem to be leading up to this message, and I've gotten confirmation after confirmation about this. I shared a message about trusting in God a few weeks ago, about overcoming fear and anxiety, because they rob us of our peace. You know, you can't be full of fear and anxiety and walking in the peace of God. Then I shared a message called Fret Not Thyself, which is about not becoming upset and angry about things in our life. That was a different one, praise God, because it affects our faith. You know, the Bible says the righteous man, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. Well, if you're angry and upset about things all the time, your heart's not fixed and it's not established. You're not walking in the things of God. It affects your faith. And that's why I say these two messages seem to lead up to this one, which I've entitled, The Force of Patience. Let that soak in for a second. Because the force of patience, that's what we love to hear about, right? Patience, praise God. Not really, but. So let's read James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when things are going great. No, that's not what it says. We don't count it joy when things are going great. It's already joyful, praise God. But when we fall into diverse or various temptations, oh boy, that sounds fun. Knowing this, verse 3, or understanding this, that the trying of your faith worketh or exercises patience. Praise God. Can we really be joyful in times of temptation? I believe we can, according to the Bible. It wouldn't say it if it couldn't happen. But that really doesn't even make natural sense. I mean, when things are going bad, how can you be joyful? Okay? I mean, it's just to the flesh, it doesn't make sense. And so I'm going to talk today about the subject of patience. And I thought about it again when you said Randy Clark gave Heidi Baker the word way back in 94. And then 20 years later, look back and it's happened. You have to have patience to wait 20 years for something to come to pass. Okay. That's just another thing that the Lord showed me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk about patience and I'm going to do it in a hurry. Praise God. Right. This is your opportunity to practice patience. No. Amen. So this is not a popular subject, but it has the potential to give us great rewards, as we'll soon see. You know, some of the things that help us the most in life are the very things we don't really want to hear about. Did you ever notice that? This is a practical message that can help us in very positive ways almost immediately if we'll hear it and do it. And here's the good news I want to get to, and that is that we can increase the amount of patience that we have in us. It can be increased. You say, I don't have any patience. Well, you can get more if you want it. We'll get to that in a minute too. Patience can be developed. You know, you could have a conference and call it the How to Have Great Faith Conference. And lots of folks would show up. Man, I want that. But if you call the same conference How to Have Great Patience, the How to Have Great Patience Conference, you might not get anybody to show up. See, it's not a sensational subject. Just like humility, the How to Have Great Humility Conference. Oh, yeah, you're going to draw them in with that. So we don't like to hear about stuff like that. But is it an important subject? Is patience as important as faith? Okay, now I'm going to wake you up if you fall asleep. I'll throw something at you, praise God. Yes, it is as important, but why is it important? Look at verse 4. Why is patience important? Verse 4 of James chapter 1 says, but let patience have her perfect or complete work, so that you may be perfect, that is, complete and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. How many want to be complete and entire, lacking nothing? Anybody in here? Praise God. I should see everybody raise their hand, but we'll pray for the rest of you. Praise God. Everybody wants that, whether you raised your hand or not. So how does the Bible say for us to have that? By letting patience have her complete work. Not a partial work, but a complete work. And it seems clear then that patience is an important thing to have. Must be, if the Bible says that about it. Did you know the Bible tells us that faith and patience work together? I'm sure most of you read that scripture. You can't really have one without the other. Because if you only have one, you don't really have the other, even if you think you have it. Hebrews 6:12 says this, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what? Patience. Do what? Inherit the promises. How? Through faith and patience. They do what? They inherit the things God has promised us in His Word. That's our inheritance in Christ. So then, patience is far more important to us than we maybe realize. Faith and patience work together as a team. Without patience, faith won't last very long. You see, our inheritance, the things God has promised us, don't come automatically, and they don't come immediately. Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to ask that a lot of times, this message. Have you ever noticed that? See, these things require faith and patience. If it came immediately, we wouldn't need much faith. It's going to happen immediately, and we certainly wouldn't need any patience, right? What would we need patience for if it came immediately? If it happened immediately? The Bible says that God's gift of salvation comes by grace through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. In fact, everything God gives us is given to us by His grace and received through our faith. So it's easy to see that faith is involved. You've got to have grace and faith to receive the promises of God, salvation and everything else. It's easy to see. That's a no-brainer. We need faith. But just because we hear a promise in the Bible and believe it, or we have faith for it, you might say, that doesn't mean it's going to happen by the end of the day, or by the end of the week, or by the end of the month, or by the end of the year, maybe not by the end of the decade. Hopefully by the end of the millennium, but anyway, or the century. But they don't happen immediately. See, we have to believe until it happens and not be shaken by contrary evidence, no matter how long it takes. We're going to see this in a minute when we get into the life of Abraham and so forth. See, that's why faith and patience work together. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of what? Anybody with me? Patience. You have need of patience.
That's right.
That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Praise God. In other words, some time passes after you have done the will of God. Some time passes. We receive the promise and that we're believing for. If we faint not, the Bible says, if we remain in faith. See, it's so easy to give up on what we're praying about and just throw in the towel. Anybody ever done that? If we're not patient, well, it looks like it's just not going to happen. It's been 3 whole days now. Praise God. Just doesn't look like it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I guess his answer was no. What do you think that for? It just must not have been his will for me. Well, these are all the excuses we use because we didn't have faith enough to, or enough patience to wait on God a little bit. And what do? We cast away our confidence, which would have given us great reward if we had kept it, the Bible says. Great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence. And so patience must be in us if we're going to receive the inheritance that we have in Christ. How many want their inheritance? Anybody here? Praise God. I believe you do. I do. Now let's look at Abraham. Now we're just going to refer to Hebrews chapter 6 when they're talking about Abraham. And it says in verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. So Abraham received a promise from God, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." He patiently endured, it says. What a powerful thing patient endurance is. And by the way, another definition of patience, if you look it up in the concordance, is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. He cheerfully endured. Praise God. You see, Abram was 75 years old when God promised him that in his seed would all the families of the earth be blessed. The one problem was he had no children and he had a barren wife. But in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it says that Abraham believed God at one point, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What was counted to him for righteousness? His believing, his faith in what God had promised. And you know, that's what he counts for our righteousness too. If we didn't believe in salvation through Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have it. See, we wouldn't be righteous. But because of that, we have been made righteous in him. Amen. Now, and it says that we walk in the footsteps of Abraham's faith, who is the father of us all. I'm not going to all these scriptures. I'm sure you've all read these scriptures before. We walk in the footsteps of Abraham's faith. And so our faith in God is going to be similar to Abraham's experience of faith. Does that make sense? Yes. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did the promise happen to in Abraham's life immediately? No. No, we know it didn't. Was it the next week? No. How about the next month? No. How about the next year? No. How about the next decade? No. No, it went a long time. In fact, the promise of a child took 24 years to come to pass in his life. Now, yeah, that's right. That's right. Can you imagine what must have gone through his mind, you know, 5 years after the promise? He's 80 years old now. All right. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. He's 95 years old now. He's probably thinking, is this ever going to happen? I mean, what's taking so long here? And there's a couple of places you can see his faith was kind of wearing thin a little bit. Oh, that you might bless Ishmael. No, I'm going to bless him, but this is the one. This promise I made to you is the one that's going to be the blessing. Oh, that you would bless Ishmael. It's so hard to wait on this promise to come to pass. But the Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now that's patience. To not stagger over all those years. You know, if he had, his faith would not have lasted 24 years without patience. Had to have some patience working in there somewhere. But now remember, 1,000 years to the Lord is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. 24 years... probably just a flutter of his eyelids, you know. 24 years have gone. Oh, I've got something here in a minute I'm going to share with you. The Lord showed me this morning about this. See, it was fast for the Lord, just a couple of seconds. But to Abraham, it was very slow. Oh, boy. But you see, if God said it, then it's true. And it's true today, then it's going to be true tomorrow. It's going to be true next year. It's going to be true forever. He doesn't change. After he says it, it's always true. No matter how long we have to wait for it, it's still going to be true. He still said it. It's still our promise. And so Abraham's faith is the kind of faith that we should have. And if he needed patient endurance, then guess what? We need it too. Praise God. So I want to share something the Lord showed me this morning. Just as I was, you know, just getting up, getting dressed and whatever. Well, actually, I wasn't getting dressed. I was having a cup of coffee. But I just made a quick couple of pages of notes here, something the Lord showed me, because I was thinking about this right here. And it occurred to me that God inhabits eternity. God's time frame is eternity. But our time frame is in days, weeks, months, years. That's the time frame. There's a scripture in the Bible that said time was no more at a certain point. This thing of time, God doesn't even operate in the realm of time. But anyway, that's another theoretical story. But when we develop patience, then the passage of time is not such a big issue to us. We lift our vision to a higher place. You might say we enter, to some extent, into God's time frame. If we're willing to wait whatever length it takes, then we're in that eternal realm in a lot of ways. Now, we're not quite up there yet, but we know we're going there someday. So we enter into some extent to God's time frame, and that can work for us in the long run. You know, and I want to share a couple of things that came to my mind. I've known several people over the years, maybe more than that, who worked average jobs. One was a local truck driver, didn't make a lot of money driving locally for a company here locally. And so he didn't make a lot of money. The other guy worked in a factory, worked a factory job and at one of the furniture companies. And their wives also worked average jobs, okay? And they both of them started small, little houses they owned, you know, that they bought, you know, little bitty houses like cracker boxes. But the one guy began to buy $25 U.S. savings bonds every week out of his payroll check. And after about 15 years, don't ask me how, the guy had $100,000 saved up. Now, I don't know if he invested it or whatever, but there's something called the time value of money. Well, I want to be wealthy, but I just don't think I can wait that long. You know, it's just so long. You got to do this for so long. Well, listen to this. You know, after 30 or 40 years of that guy had over $1 million. He just worked an average job. Ended up living out of Chatmoss, went on, built a big house down in Danville. Anyway, the other guy did something similar. They had an average income, but they cut out all unnecessary spending from their budget. Just really trimmed it down to almost nothing. And just what they could survive on, and they saved the rest of the money. And they saved their money for a few years. It didn't happen next week. It took a few years, and they built a beautiful home over above Collinsville there, the north of Collinsville. And they paid for it. So how did they do that? They looked at the long term, and they found a way to harness the power of time. Praise God. You got to be patient to do that. You got to have some patience in you to do that. Most of us don't seem to have that. I mean, it could be developed, though. Yeah, financial people call that the time value of money. Over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, this small amount of money coming in grew to an incredibly large amount. And so with patience in us, we can do all that even with a low average income. That's just an example, but it shows the importance of patience. And that came to me this morning, and I added it to the message on a legal pad. Praise God. So now, what exactly is patience? Well, if I could just go buy some of it, maybe I could get it. What is it? Well, we know it's a spiritual force because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That is, it comes from the Spirit of God. We have access to it through the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22-23, we're all familiar. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Patience here is called long-suffering. Long-suffering. Are you long-suffering? No. Remember the verse in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 13, I think, about love. Love suffers long and is kind. That means it's patient. It suffers long. Patience is cheerful endurance. Anybody can suffer long if they're forced to. You're put in a situation where you ain't got any choice. You can suffer long. But can you be kind and sweet while you're doing it? Praise God. Can you do it cheerfully and be kind to other people while it's happening? That's a different sort of creature right there that can do that. And notice this, just as I was reading that, it jumped out to me that patience is a form of suffering. The Bible calls it long suffering. God is long suffering. So God suffers sometimes when through being patient with us. So do we automatically have patience just because it's a fruit of the Spirit? Okay, I see some head shaking no, and that's the right answer. We don't have it just because it's a fruit. Unless we choose to, unless we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and resist the flesh. Remember, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You can make the choice. You can go either way. But those who walk after the Spirit, they can get the patience. Remember, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the what? The branches, okay? When you're growing fruit, where does the fruit grow? On the branch or the vine? It grows on the branch. The fruit grows on the branch. It's in the vine. All the potential for it's in the vine, but it's the branch where it grows. And we're the branches. That's where the fruit grows. That's where these things are developed. See, the natural way, I'm going a little off my notes for a second, the natural thing that comes natural is to be impatient. We don't have to develop that. It just comes automatically. It's like one of the works of the flesh. Okay, let me get back on my notes. I don't want to blow this. Anyway. See, Jesus has all these things in himself. The Holy Spirit has all these things in himself. They are the fruit of the Spirit, right? God the Father has all these things. Look in Romans 15, verse 5. It says, now the God of patience. The God of what? The God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. He's called the God of patience. He spoke things long ago that haven't come to pass yet. Will they come to pass? I believe they will. I don't think he's ever said anything that didn't come to pass. It may not have happened yet. Is he impatient about it? There's the old saying, God never gets in a hurry. Right. Amen. There's a reason for that. See, these fruits of the Spirit don't show up in us until we cultivate them, until we yield ourselves to the Spirit, walk after the Spirit, and ignore what the flesh does. See, that we're changing our life that way in Jesus. So it is with patience. Right. Have you ever noticed the flesh is not naturally inclined to be patient? When we want something, when do we want it? Right now, by golly. Yeah, because it starts from childhood. They're born with that. And it's like the old prayer we joke about. I need patience and I need it when? Right now, praise God. Yesterday. But patience has to be developed and cultivated if we're going to have it working in us. See, we must practice it. This is what I'm getting to. This is how we get it. See, the good news is we can have more of it, but the way we get it is by practicing it. Praise God. There's another old saying we have that says, don't ever pray for patience. You'll regret it. But the fallacy to that statement is you don't get patience by praying for it. I wish we could say, God, give me patience, and poof, there we got it now. Hallelujah, I'm going away. It doesn't work that way. In this chapter that we're looking at in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, Paul makes a contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh is a list of things that the flesh does. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all these things, you know. I don't even know what some of those words. Evil concupiscence. Is that how to pronounce that right? No idea what that is. But anyway, maybe I need to read a different version. Okay. There are other versions? Yeah, a dictionary would help too. Works are things that are done. They are deeds. They are actions. But then he refers to the fruit of the Spirit. Of love, spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all that. He refers to them as fruit instead of acts or the works. So what's the difference between a work and a fruit? A work is something that is done or enacted naturally, but a fruit is something that must be grown. Praise God. I'm seeing why he showed the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. See, the flesh simply does what it does with no special effort. You might say it is what it is. I mean, I don't like that expression, but it applies here. The fruit of the Spirit must be grown in us. It's not something that comes naturally or automatically. We cultivate it. We grow it. And it replaces that which naturally is part of the flesh. We replace that with the fruit of the Spirit. Has anyone ever lifted weights or known somebody who was a bodybuilder? You've lifted a couple of times? Okay. You need a little more patience. You had a brother who lifted weights? Okay. Well, you know, I knew one guy in high school. I remember a guy in the eighth grade. We were in the eighth grade in our phys ed class. We had a wrestling match. They had to keep these eighth graders busy some way or another. So we looked at wrestling. And now I really wasn't a wrestler. I can tell you that right now. I was more of a musician type, you know. And so we were matched up based on size. And I got this kid down on the mat and I put my chin in his chest, you know, so the whiskers would irritate him. That's the way they taught us to do it. Get the guy down and stick your chin in his chest. All right. It was cruel, but that's what they taught us. And so I won the match. All right. Well, some time passed by, you know, and this we both grew a little bit. And this guy started lifting weights. And by the 10th grade, he was 6 feet tall and looked like Mr. Universe. And he's a real nice guy. He wasn't a bully or anything. I sure wouldn't try wrestling him at that point. No way. He probably, yeah, he had a whole full-grown beard by that time, I think. Well, maybe it's a little later. I don't know if they let us have those back in high school. He wasn't a bit of a bully. He just wanted to be strong and look good, you know? I mean, nothing wrong with that. And he got that way by lifting weights, by using his muscles against the resistance of those weights. The weight doesn't want to be lifted, but I'm going to lift it. And he did it every day. And that's how patience is built in our life. See, we exercise our spiritual muscles against the natural impatience that's in us whenever it comes up. See, we recognize when the enemy is trying to stir us up or get us real impatient, and we resist it. We do the opposite instead. I'm talking about some good stuff right now, whether you know it or not. It'll come to you later, praise God. This is powerful stuff I'm talking to you right now. About patience? Yeah. See, you know, the bodybuilder exercises his muscles against the resistance of the weights he's lifting. Is that fun? No. We've all heard the saying, no pain, no gain, right? But the bodybuilder will endure the pain, whatever it is, the necessary pain to get the result they're after. Praise God. I saw a documentary, and some of you may have seen this, on about Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he was growing up, I think he was in Austria. He grew up and where they had cows and goats and stuff like that. It was just way back in the country. Yeah. And he was talking about his early days of bodybuilding. He said he would work out all day long. Hour after hour, day after day. And every time he did an exercise, it meant that he was a little closer to becoming a famous bodybuilder and getting to go to America and make movies. Praise God. Did he do what is thinking in his mind? He had a goal. He had a dream. He had a vision of something that drove him to endure the pain and achieve the goal. Was it fun? Was it easy? No. No pain, no gain. So in a sense, the pain was a source of joy for him. What was our text we were looking at to begin with? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or allows you to practice patience. In other words, the trying or testing of your faith should give us joy because it gives us the opportunity to exercise our patience. Build those muscles up. And what is our goal? To let patience have her complete work in us so that we can be complete, lacking nothing. It's going to take patience to get to that place. See, that ought to be a motivation to exercise our patience every time we have the opportunity. And believe me, we have many opportunities. I don't know if y'all do, but in the course of a day's time, you will have opportunities to practice patience. And so how do we develop patience in our life? Well, we're kind of touching on it, the idea of practicing it. We practice it every time we're feeling the urge to be impatient. Oh, I just need to do something right now. Be patient. Whew. Okay, praise God. One of the best ways I've found to practice patience, now get ready for this, is to drive the speed limit. Has anybody ever tried that? See what I mean? Nobody, no hands went up. You know, not 5 miles per hour over, not 10 miles per hour over, but the speed limit. I mean, are we supposed to obey the speed limit? Or is that just for those other people? And, you know, just let the guy beside you at the traffic light take off faster than you do so he can get ahead. Every one of them will do it. I guarantee it. You sit beside somebody, the light changes, whoom, they're gone. See, they're going to do it anyway. And guess what? It's not a race. It really is a race. We're just out getting from point A to point B. You know, my driver's training teacher said something back in the 9th grade when we were taking driver's training. And I never forgot it. It still makes sense today. He said, safe driving never caused an accident. Think about it. And before you go there, an excessively slow driver is not a safe driver. But I found that to be true. Anytime I've ever had a little fender bender or whatever, I was in a hurry. Every single time. I wasn't driving safely. Now, even if you drive safe, something could happen. I'm not saying that, but most of the time, we're in a hurry. You know, everybody out on the highway is in a hurry. Do you know that? I mean, most people, except the really old ones. They probably got smart after a few years. So let me give you a couple other examples. I'm going to give you some practical examples here. The things that I dealt with just this week or last week, very, very recently. I was over at Truist Bank last week, and I was making a couple of deposits for the church. And I walked in, and I walked around, got in the line, and I was the only one there, except there was somebody at the teller already. But I was the first one in the line. And there was this elderly lady at the teller's window, and she was completing a transaction of some kind, maybe making a deposit or something. So it looked like I'd come at a good time, praise God. Well, the teller said, thank you, have a nice day. And the lady said, now, I want to do this. So she asked for her balance, got the balance, and she said, well, I want to make a withdrawal. So the teller very graciously helped her with that, which took several more minutes. And I'm standing there waiting. You know, when you're standing in line, what do? You know, okay, I can turn around, look at that side of the room. I can look at that. I can look at my feet. I can walk around a little bit, dance around a little bit. I don't know if y'all do that or not, but that's me. And so I'm trying to think of everything you can think of to take your mind off of the fact that you're impatient. And so, anyway, to pass the time. And you know, the teller helped her with that. She gave her her withdrawal and whatever. And I'm looking, you know, there's 4 or 5 people now behind me in the line. They've all come in slowly, and this lady's taking a long time. And I'm standing there fighting the impatient feeling that's going on inside of me. You know, looking around, changing positions, calm down, trying to calm down. I'm thinking about how I need to practice patience. Oh, here's a good opportunity to practice patience. You know, and I'm looking behind the people, the steam coming off the top of their heads and stuff. And so the lady finishes that transaction, and she says, now, oh, here we go again. Could I get one of your calling cards? And the lady, the teller, she said, well, they're over there in my office across the room. And the lady said, could you go over there and get one for me? And the teller said, well, I've got to take care of this line first. And the lady said, what line? And the teller said, that line. She turned around and looked. There was about five or six of us in line waiting, you know. And she smiled and waved at us. I smiled real big and waved back with a sweet gesture. See, I'm practicing patience, right? That's not the way I felt, but I'm practicing patience. God bless you, ma'am. And so she said, well, okay. She finished up. It took several more minutes to put all her stuff away in her purse, you know. I got the... You couldn't take it just over there on the table and put it away. No, it's right in front of the teller. But anyway. And so when she finally got finished up with all that, she turned around and walked. She walked past the line. She looked at me and said, well, what are you doing today? And I said, well, I'm making a couple of deposits. I could have said a lot of things, but I didn't. And so maybe the Lord gave me that opportunity, but I think I'd have that happen anyway. I mean, I don't think the Lord lined that up that way, especially for that to happen, although he could have. Another time, Jenny and I were eating at Clarence's a couple of weeks ago, maybe two or three weeks ago, and I got ready to pay for the meal, pay the bill, and I got in line at the register. There was about four or five people in front of me, because all the way back in the dining room is where the register line was lined up. And so after a few minutes, I finally arrived at the register, you know. And I noticed a fellow standing over here beside me to my right, slightly in front of me. And he had come from the other end of the restaurant and didn't bother getting in the line. He's just standing there with his ticket. And I said, it was kind of an awkward moment. I said, are you next? He stepped up to the register, said, oh, it doesn't make any difference to me. It doesn't. My immediate thought was, if it doesn't make any difference, why didn't you let me go? But it,
right, exactly. Yes,
yes. Oh, it doesn't make any difference to me. Here go, my man. Anyway, so I just smiled and kept my mouth shut. And say what? I was working on my sermon. I took a few notes right here. Let me write this down before I forget it. And so I just smiled and let it go. It gave me a chance to practice patience and be nice about it. And I'm not sure about the folks who were behind me in the line, how they felt about it, but I didn't turn around and ask them. You see, it hurts a little bit when we practice patience. It's called long suffering for a reason. We are suffering long, but no pain, no what? No gain. Every time I practice patience, I'm getting a little stronger at it. And practice makes what? Praise God. I'm adding the force of patience, the spiritual force of patience, to my spiritual weaponry. My faith to receive my inheritance in Christ is getting stronger. Because it takes faith and patience to inherit the promises. The more patience I get, the better I'm going to get at praying and receiving from God. Because I'm waiting. The Bible says, wait patiently upon Him. Praise God. That's over in the chapter about don't be angry and upset about evildoers. Fret not thyself. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And you'd be amazed at the calming effect this has on our spirit. To do this. You see, impatience is a driving force that works inside of us from the flesh, you know. You can actually feel it when you're trying to resist it. Oh, I'm going to relax. Oh, no, go, go, go. I'm relaxing, praise God. I'm practicing patience. Oh, take your time, lady, it's all right. And so, every time we resist impatience and exercise patience instead, there's a calming effect that takes place inside of us. I've discovered this. The inner drive to be impatient becomes weaker. We become calm and peaceful. This stuff is real, folks. I'm telling you, it's real. So, did you know that we can get more done when we're patient than when we're impatient? I've just discovered that. Don't ask me why. It just, maybe it's because we're thinking more clearly. Yeah. We're not being driven by some fleshly force. Yeah. And what we do seems to have more quality about it. I don't know why. These are just observations I made in the little time, the few weeks I've been practicing or attempting to practice patience. And I've noticed a sense of peace begins to settle in as we develop the habit of resisting those urges to be impatient. It's a great spiritual exercise that seems to have some immediate rewards. You know, Pastor John shared you mind if I share that with you about the dream you had? He said today, this morning, he said, I think it was a Wednesday morning, he said he had a dream. That was before they went to Voice of the Apostles. And he said in the dream he's on a road, not off the main road, just driving a truck. And he finally made it to the main highway, and he got on the main highway, and everything looks great. Wow, this is good. Next thing you know, he gets pulled over, gets a speeding ticket. And his interpretation of that was that the Lord was telling him, you need to slow down a little bit. You need to slow down a bit. You're trying to do too much. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I think that's the gist. And I said, praise God. This is what this patience thing is about. Thank you, Lord, for confirming the word that you've given me this morning. I'm thinking, people are not going to like this word because we don't like patience. It's going to be a hard word, one of them quiet words. Anyway, so I just want to encourage us to begin to practice patience every day. Amen. Anybody want to do that?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you think you might want to do it.
Every day.
Okay, well, the rest of you, we'll pray for you. Praise God. You know, and it will develop in us over a little bit of time. Let the fruit of the Spirit that's in our heart be grown on the outside. Let it come to the surface. And I believe we'll have great results. So let's close by looking one more time in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, which says, and we read it already, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's all I got to say about that. Let's give the Lord a praise, could we? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. Father, we ask you to seal this word in our hearts. Lord, we ask you to bring it back to our remembrance, Holy Spirit. Many times, Lord, every opportunity we have to practice patience, Lord, we ask you to remind us that that's who we are. We are patient and kind, Lord, in every situation. Father, we thank you for your help. We thank you for your word, and we receive it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.